Okay. Any question? Therefore, the usual question, where are we? What are we talking about?
I've been away. I just happen to be here.
Is that an acceptable excuse?
We're talking about love.
We are talking about love. We were back to the love story. Love story, not the love of the merchant, not the logical love, if you could call it that way, and not the biological love, which is animal love. Love that is what?
Exception.
It's affection?
Exception.
Yes, exception. What is that exception? First of all, love is a verb. He talks about it. And there is no way out of symbolism. First, let's start with something which is missing here. In our class, something is missing. That's the poem itself. And the poem by itself has something which cannot be translated. Never ever. Translation is using the rule of languages. That's what translation is, right? And poem is throwing away all the rules. Intentionally. Why? Have you ever thought why poet will throw out intentionally all the logical meaning of the language and the rule of the language, which is grammar? Why does he do that? It's a choice. That choice is made to do what? Poet? Intentionally, not knowingly, not consciously, but intentionally, will throw out all the rule of the language. Rule of the language is what will make everything readable to us. Rule of the language is the carrier of the message. And the poet will skip them as much as he could, intentionally, because he doesn't want it to be clear. He's running away from precision. Precision is where? In technical application and mathematics, precision. But in poetry, we run away from it. Why? It's quite fair to say, because the poet himself, he does not know what he wants to say. He doesn't really know it. He feels it in a way. That's what inspiration is all about. It's not about knowing something. There is something moving inside. He doesn't know how to say it because he doesn't know it exactly. For him, is an abstraction. The idea, the feeling in the poet is abstract. Therefore, he will try to avoid the misleading part of the language, which is the thing that language is made for. Therefore, when it comes to talking about inside, talking about the back of the mind, talking about beyond the logical understanding of the universe, we cannot create another language. We use the same language, but differently. How differently by getting rid of old rules. Not always, because at the end of the day it's something readable. But more than the reading stuff, there is something over there which is playing with your mind and is provoking something. What is that? Imagination. You start to daydream about it. You imagine something. That something is not necessarily that something that the poet was thinking about. When the poet said, the sadness of an evening in a rainy season when everything feels dark. You imagine something. Do you imagine the thing that he was imagining? No. First of all, he was imagining, he was feeling a sadness. And he was expressing a sadness. You were imagining a picture understandable to you, which is, yes, first in the evening. Then the evening was not that sad. When he gave you another instrument, like it in a rainy day, then in a rainy season, then the sky is black, you repainted it, and at the end, you have a picture in your mind, right? Which could never be exactly the same picture the poet had, because the picture is irrelevant. How you felt about it. He wanted to transfer sort of sadness, and if your picture looks sad to you, he succeeded. That's a feeling that he's touching. It's like that. And that part is missing here because we translated. But there is another trick that is translatable, which is the story of Alice in the Wonderland. The message is a very wondrous universe, and it could be translated. Because over there, everything looks a little bit childish and feeds your imagination properly. With no hesitation, everything is magic. So, you know, storytelling, right? Here we tell stories. How? Because this is not a simple message from one person to you. This is the message which is very common in all enlightened people. They talk the same language. They speak the same stories. In those stories, there are characters played specially for something. Nothing else could convey a lot of feeling and passion. Like when I talk about a man riding a donkey. Suddenly, no matter how your picture is, there is a Jesus over there. The feeling is there. The feeling about Jesus, not the belief in the religion of the Jesus. It's a feeling, a passion, right? And that will do it. Why? Because we use it and use it, and we cleverly choose it. In this book, there are so many stories you are going to hear. You should get familiar with the characters here. Here we talked about what? First, we talked about the king. All of you envy a king. All of you want to be the king. And we said this is a silly king. The silliness is that this king is practically the slave of his slave. which doesn't give a damn about him. We are presenting something here. No names. What was the name of the king? No name. What was the name of the handmaiden? Nothing. We were more familiar with the Hakim. Those are just personalities, but was it the last time we used it? No other word we wanted to refer to the subject we started with. We're bringing a king. We make up the kings. Sometimes we name it Caliph. Sometimes we name the master, the emperor. It's the king. Because we want to talk about your kingdom and your silly king. This one. Because this one is married in a way to the logic. And what is logic? That's a very good question. Okay, now, after so many time we talked about it, what is logic? You tell me, Peter, what is logic?
The application of rules.
The application of rules. The application of rules was here when they were building the pyramids, right? And there were no logic around, my memory doesn't fail me. I was there. Logic is something man